Army. Vegas Dave Consolazio here alongside Kevin KT Taylor for NFL Beyond the Numbers Super Bowl edition. KT, I figured what better time than our last podcast to catch a cold and sound like crap.
Seriously, man, it's finally here, the Super Bowl. It just seems like yesterday we were starting this podcast for the second year in a row, and now this is it. This is the final game, the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers, the Har Bowl, if you will. What are your thoughts on the matchup?
Well, we'll obviously get to a bunch of different thoughts. It is just an interesting matchup, and it's the type of game that you feel, and we could be shown something completely different on the field, but you feel like if they played this one seven times, this would need a game seven. It feels like that kind of series.
Which is all you can ask for in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. San Francisco is a 3.5-point favorite, understandably so with the way Kaepernick's been playing, but you know, Baltimore, they went into Denver and took care of business as an 8-point underdog, went into New England as a 9-point underdog, so they're certainly not afraid of playing in the underdog role. Generally in the Super Bowl, you kind of have a feel at the beginning of it that you know who's going to win, and by the end of it, it usually looks like it would be a sweep if it were a seven-game series. Mm-hmm. This one, to me, just looks like the kind of game that it's going to come down to second-half adjustments. It's going to come down to really just execution, because both of these coaches are so capable. Both of these teams are so capable. I don't think we've seen the best of San Francisco's defense yet at all in these playoffs. I don't think we've really seen the best that Baltimore can be in some games, especially on special teams, like the Denver game. So it depends on who executes and who that two-week layoff affects more. So it's going to be a very exciting game. One that, even though I don't have a rooting interest, as far as the actual game is concerned, I can't remember a matchup I've been more excited about in a little while.
Yeah, it should be a great one, and it's funny because the common phrase is defense wins championships, and here you can really call that a push, because look at the teams these guys have beaten. Green Bay and Atlanta, you know, two of the best offenses in the NFC there, and then the Ravens knock off, the Colts are an up-and-coming offense, but then Denver and New England, like you said, I mean, the defense just played fantastic. And the key matchup for me that I'm looking at that I think is going to decide this is Colin Kaepernick against Baltimore, because, you know, when I was typing up my notes, I was ready to say what a lot of people have said, which is that Baltimore has yet to play a mobile quarterback in the playoffs. All the quarterbacks they've played are virtually the same player, with Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And then I was thinking about it, and I thought, have they really played any mobile quarterbacks all year? Because they didn't play Ben Roethlisberger either time when they played Pittsburgh. I look back at their schedule, they lost two games to Philadelphia and Washington. Philadelphia was in week two, was a 1-point loss. Washington was in overtime. Both these games were very close, but they did go 0-2 against mobile quarterbacks. So that has to be an area of concern, I think, if you're a Baltimore fan. You have to look at the tape there. And the way that Kaepernick has just been running all over these defenses in the playoffs, it's really concerning. But at the same time, let's flip it. You know, the Niners have yet to play a physical defense like this. Green Bay, as we've mentioned several times on this podcast, their defense is the weak link, and they have good games, but they're not really a physical defense, they're a playmaking defense. Atlanta, no one really ever talks about that defense just because the offense is so good and the defense doesn't really, you know, hurt you that much. But now Kaepernick is facing this Ravens defense that is all about physicality and getting in your face, and that's what they did against New England. And I was thinking about it, and I want to get your thoughts on this. I don't necessarily think this is going to happen, but, you know, you remember, I'm sure, in 2008, I believe it was, with Georgia and Florida in the college football, when Georgia scored to open the game, and then Mark Richt sent the entire team out to go celebrate. Remember, they had a huge 15-yard penalty to get the team psyched up. Right. And I was thinking about what happens if, you know, Kaepernick rolls out for the first time, and not necessarily a dirty hit, but what if they risk getting a late hit on the quarterback if he's sliding, just to ruffle his feathers a little bit and let him know that, you know, we're here, we're physical, we're not going to let you do that all game. Do you think that there's a chance they might risk, you know, getting a potential 15-yard penalty just to get in his face right in the beginning and be like, this is the Super Bowl?
You know, it's certainly possible, but for Baltimore, I don't think they're going to need a cheap shot to do that. That is kind of their MO, and they've got so many bruising hitters on this defense that you get the feeling that they're going to find a way. And yeah, even if it's not so obvious as when he's sliding, maybe after a handoff or a little after a throw, a roughing the passer type of thing, you might see something like that to send a message. It's funny, you say defense wins championships, and that's always been the truth, and these two defenses are two strong physical defenses, and when you look at Baltimore and San Francisco, you still think defense for both of these teams. But man, if you're looking at the last couple of Super Bowls and this one, mm-hmm. you need a pretty damn good offense to win the Super Bowl too. Yeah. Even a team like the Giants that did it with defense, they had Manning, they had that passing game. You need an offense nowadays too. It's a funny league that way. But Baltimore, it's true, they haven't seen a quarterback like this yet since those two games in the regular season. But this defense is so much different mm-hmm. than what it was in the regular season that I've completely thrown out the regular season at this point. And we were talking about how they went into the playoffs on a 1-4 slump mm-hmm. and just looked terrible. Ray Lewis comes back. And not only is it an emotional boost for this team, but the performance of this defense really has been exceptional. When you look at it, so far in the playoffs, they're giving up 19 points a game, and that's inflated heavily by the Denver 35 points,
really more like 17 a game.
Yeah, two touchdowns were on special teams, mm-hmm. so it's probably more like 16 points a game, but 9 points against Indianapolis, 13 points in New England against that team. And now
zero in the second half.
And the thing about that game, you can't directly correlate New England's offense to San Francisco's offense at all. Like you said, Brady, very different from Kaepernick. But New England does a lot of tricky things and has a lot of movement in the back. And you've talked all year about how well this team runs the ball. And it just wasn't working against Baltimore. Baltimore had the answers for that team. And I feel like with the way Baltimore's defense is playing right now, I trust them to have some kind of an answer for Kaepernick. Mm. And you look at San Francisco, as great as their defense was during the regular season, their last three games against big passing teams, they give up 396 passing yards to Atlanta, they give up 31 points to Green Bay, they give up 34 points to New England. They won all three of those games, so maybe it's not going to matter. But I don't think they're going to score. Last week against Atlanta, I was saying I liked Atlanta, but you know they might end up just getting outshot. I don't think Baltimore is going to give up 40 points or 35 points. I think it's probably going to be high 20s at most for San Francisco. So if Baltimore gets into the 30s, I think it's enough to win.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I actually think that, all the talk is going to be, I think, about, Colin Kaepernick and Joe Flacco. But the running backs, I think, might decide this game more than anything. Another similarity these two teams have is they've yet to really face a great running back in the playoffs. The Broncos don't really have a good running back to speak of. Stephen Ridley had a good season, but he's so interchangeable with that. And on the other side, Michael Turner has fallen off, and Green Bay has no running back at all, really. Yep. So now you have Ray Rice and Frank Gore here, who are going to be the best running backs that these teams have seen in months.
Two elite running backs.
Exactly. And in that sense, I have to give the edge to San Francisco because San Francisco is fourth in the league in rushing on the season. Baltimore was 20th. So that aspect of it is really concerning for me from a Baltimore standpoint. I think that San Francisco might have an easier time running the ball and kind of controlling the clock that way. So and you look at San Francisco, they're 9-2-1 since October 14th when they were blown out by New York. And so if Baltimore really struggled coming in, again, we mentioned this is old news and there's two different teams now, but, and that's to end the regular season. And so the Niners are just playing so well right now. If you want to, going back to Baltimore's defense, something that could be a positive for them is the last physical in-your-face defense that the Niners faced was Seattle. And we all know what happened in that game. Seattle absolutely crushed them. Offensively, they're two different teams, and Seattle put up 42 points. But if the Niners could get flustered, they do have some, Vernon Davis has a huge turnover, and he's this new guy, reborn guy. But if he gets, if people get in his face and he's struggling, will he revert to that? Same thing with Michael Crabtree, who's had a breakout year with Kaepernick. If he is getting trouble, getting pushed at the line, he might get a little frustrated. Maybe the Niners get a little frustrated in this game.
Yeah, the truth is there was a stretch even before Ray Lewis got injured earlier this season where Baltimore was giving up something along the lines of 200 rushing yards a game. Yeah. They did it for about 3 weeks in a row. And again, maybe they're having so much success in the playoffs because of the fact that they haven't had a running game that could exploit them. I mean, with LaMichael James, Frank Gore, and Colin Kaepernick, there are certainly plenty of guys that can not only scoop up 6-7 yards, but just take it to the house if you make a mistake. But yeah, this Baltimore team is just playing so well right now. And with 2 weeks to prepare, I think they're going to have a fine day against the run. And I'm more concerned about San Francisco's defense, which, interestingly enough, and we'll talk about second half adjustments, but here's a defense that, against Green Bay in the second half, San Francisco just shut it down. I think Green Bay had 10 second half points, but by then the game was already over. And then Atlanta, they give up the early 17-0 lead and then shut it down. They give up 7 more points for the rest of the game. It's possible that, you know, those were just slow starts and nerves or whatever, and they come into this game focused and there's no problem. But, you know, Flacco is playing essentially perfect football.
Yeah.
I mean, 853 yards, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions in the playoffs so far. He's out-dueled Luck, Manning, and Brady, which I don't know if I was talking to you about this or somebody else, but I was saying that if the Ravens win this game, we could look back on this run in 20 years as the greatest run against quarterbacks of all time. Because Brady and Manning are obviously two of the greatest of all time. And it certainly looks like Luck and Kaepernick. I'm not putting them in the Hall of Fame just yet.
Like
they've got some bright futures ahead of them. If they pull this run off, it will be something. And Joe Flacco, who has said he wants to be mentioned in the elite category, would be the guy who wasn't just a Trent Dilfer that was just on board for the defense crushing those guys. He out-dueled them every step of the way. So, you know, that's an interesting matchup in this game.
Yeah, I tweeted about that after the game, and I just said that Flacco is essentially the anti-Peyton Manning. Because during the regular season, Flacco can be shaky. He'll have his really bad games where he just looks terrible and you're talking about changing the quarterback. But come January, the guy gets it done, the first quarterback in NFL history to get playoff wins in his first 5 seasons. And now here he is in the Super Bowl. He's taken them to the AFC Championship 3 times already. So Flacco is, I think, has to be in that conversation of elite now. I remember, this might be the first time I've ever credited Jim Rome with a quote, because he's quite outspoken and not always correct.
Your style, right?
Yeah, exactly. But he did say that, I think, and he was dead on, he said that Joe Flacco is as good as he's been telling us he's been for years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find a way to argue that after the way that he's been just running through these teams so far. Again, though, you know, I think the whole theme of the grand theme of this Super Bowl is facing something you haven't seen yet. And Flacco is yet to face a defense like San Francisco's. Denver's is getting up there, but they're still young and they're more of a speed defense. Whereas the 49ers have speed and they also have physicality. The players on this defense, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, Justin Smith, Alden Smith, you can go on. This defense is just fantastic, has playmakers everywhere, and where oftentimes you see a defense, you know, they either pride themselves on physicality, shutting you down and lowering the score, or making plays, San Francisco's defense does both.
Now, the only thing, or the only question I have, because the question has to come up with the way, again, San Francisco's been getting beat by some big passing offenses. I'm fine with, you're absolutely right about all of that, and I continue to think that nobody is really going to establish a running game with this San Francisco front seven. It's just not going to happen. I could see San Francisco establishing a running game, despite how good Baltimore's defense is. I can't see Baltimore establishing a running game, or I should say one that's going to go for, say, 120, 130 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But Torrey Smith, Anquan Boldin, down the field, one-on-one coverage, can San Francisco really do anything about this?
Especially
with the way they're playing right now?
And Flacco, you know, one thing that we did know before this run was that there was hardly anybody who's better at throwing a deep ball than he is. And the accuracy that he's had, you know, I said this after the big 70-yard touchdown where everybody was blaming the Denver defense for just the terrible play, but the fact that he was able to throw the ball 60 yards perfectly on the money just shows how great he is, and he's been doing that the entire time. He puts his receivers in positions to catch the balls. He's been doing that for years now. Just remember last year with Lee Evans. Should have caught that ball. It was a perfect throw to him. Should have had it, and he dropped it. They should have been in the Super Bowl last year. So Flacco, I think, can be very effective on this passing defense because, as you did mention, you know, their front seven, I don't think you're going to find a better front seven in the league, and I don't know if you found a better one for years, but their secondary, even though they have some Pro Bowl caliber players in the secondary, they can be beat, and they have been beat, especially by teams like Seattle in the past. So that's definitely an interesting thing to look at. I'm curious to see what happens in the second half, because the MO for both these teams has been halftime adjustments. Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh, I've said for weeks now, are arguably the two best in the league when it comes to halftime adjustments. I could see maybe a 24-21 halftime score and then 3-0 in the second half or something like that, the way that these defenses are able to adjust to their opponents.
Absolutely. What's so interesting to me about this game is, you know, you can always kind of just put up a theoretical game plan in your head where you can say, okay, what is it going to take for this team to win, or what is it going to take for this team to stop this? I can't even in theory really come up with a way to stop either of these offenses when they're clicking. Because Baltimore is so strong down the field that, okay, well, let's drop into some coverage then. Let's drop into some prevent. Okay, well, now you've got guys like Ray Rice that, whether it's on the ground or with short little passes, and if you're sending a lot of pressure, they're going to have a guy like Ray Rice to dump off to, or Pitta, or all sorts of different guys that they can just throw little short things to. And if you bring everybody up, you know, they're going to beat you down the field. And then you've got San Francisco, talent all over the place at wide receiver, Vernon Davis. And then, of course, you've got this super talented backfield, and you've got Kaepernick with these reads that he's not making mistakes with these reads. He's not keeping it when he should hand it off, and vice versa. He always seems to make the right read. And I don't know what the defense to that is. And I like I said, I think if anybody's going to figure it out in 2 weeks, it's going to be Baltimore, or it's going to be Harbaugh's brother. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And obviously I don't get paid the big bucks to figure that out. But ESPN was running a thing on it yesterday about the numbers on Kaepernick and about the read option. And, you know, the thing that we all say about the read option is it sustainable with all the hits the quarterback takes? I don't know if you saw this stat, but they were saying in 55 plays that Colin Kaepernick has run the read option so far this season, he's handed it off 41 times. He wasn't touched on any of those handoffs. And on the times that he kept it, the 14 times he kept it, he was touched 6 times. So in 10 games, he's been touched six times. So if taking the quarterback out with bruising hits all game isn't an option, I don't know what is. The league is obviously going to catch up to it. And like I said, I feel like Baltimore has the personnel, but I just don't know how you stop either of these teams. I think this game is going to be a little more high scoring than last year's 16-6 Thanksgiving
game. I would say that's true. It's funny because as great as these offenses are looking right now, there's definitely plenty of regular season footage these coaches will be looking at as far as shutting this team down. Even with San Francisco, you know, you look at their, they lost to St. Louis and they struggled in the last week of the season
and
to Arizona.
And St. Louis, they also had trouble against the second round.
Exactly. And Baltimore has had a couple just absolute stinkers of games that they've put out there. So there is tape on how to stop these guys. The issue is that both these offenses, we agree, are at a different level than they were during the regular season. So,
and they're both different because you fire your Baltimore fires its offensive coordinator late in the season. San Francisco not only makes the quarterback change, but you know what you love about Jim Harbaugh is his creativity on offense. He brings in so many things from both his pro days and his college days that you can see the occasional fly sweep, which is very college. You see like a read option, which is very college. It's becoming more NFL. But then you see some just jumbo package, just give it to Frank Gore and pound it down your throat. It's so versatile that, again, you're right, you can prepare, but with so many plays at your disposal, it's truly going to be a chess match between two excellent coaches that, like we've mentioned, at the half, both just seem to dominate their opponent when they come out in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, whatever happens, of course, unless one of these teams, probably be more likely San Francisco than Baltimore, jumps out to a 21-0 lead at halftime or something in that area. Regardless of what happens in the first half, I think that the game is clearly going to be decided in the second half, but the adjustments, whoever makes the better adjustments is going to win this game. And it's funny because, you know, when I came in today, I said, I'm pulling for Baltimore, but I think San Francisco is going to win. You said the exact opposite. You said you're pulling for San Francisco, but you think Baltimore is going to win. And that just is a testament to how close this matchup is and how great it should be. I'm going to be disappointed if this ends up being somewhat of a blowout. I think it should be a game that comes down to the end and one team making the big play.
The interesting thing – oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Please, go ahead.
What I was going to say was the interesting thing about that is the fact that you look at San Francisco, how they gave up that 17 points, and then it was like it was nothing. They just got it back. You get the feeling that if either of these teams jumps out to a 14-17 point lead early, which both of them are capable of doing, I don't think they give that lead up. Throughout the playoffs, you haven't had this, you haven't had a feeling that a team is out of it, and both of these offenses are certainly capable of catching up. But if you give either of these defenses a chance to pin its ears back and just play the pass, I think they make some big plays. They start ball hawking. So I think this is the type of game that if you played it 100 times, 80 of them would be close, 20 of them would be blowouts. Yeah. And I hope we get one of the 80 instead of the 20.
And along those same lines, as we mentioned before, these two teams run the ball a lot. You know, you look at Atlanta, they're the team that jumps out to the big lead and they can't hold it because all they do is run the ball and they can't run the ball. So these two teams are built not only to build leads up, but keep them. So that's going to be very interesting. We'll get to our final prediction soon, but I actually want to look a bit towards the future, if you don't mind, real quick.
Let's do
it. With these two teams specifically, I'm of the belief that with the personnel that they have, with Jim Harbaugh at the helm, outside after this Super Bowl, I think San Francisco makes three of the next five Super Bowls. I just think that they're that talented, they're that young, and there are a lot of questions in the NFC, and I just see that San Francisco, I don't, outside of, honestly, Seattle, I think that might be one of the biggest competitions just because they play them twice, they'll know them. Green Bay's got to get a running back, and they're talking about bringing in Steven Jackson. Maybe if they can get him, they might be threats. But I'm of the belief that San Francisco has the potential to make a dynasty with this team just based on how young, physical, and talented they are. For Baltimore, their offense is emerging as they have been, but I think that this might be their last chance in a bit because not only, of course, Ray Lewis is retiring, Ed Reed is going to come back next year, but he's just not the player he once was. The team has injuries. Ladarius Webb tore his ACL in the beginning of the season. He's off the year. What a difference he would make, by the way, in this game.
Seriously.
Let's not even talk about that because we could go on that forever. But, you know, Terrell Suggs, Defensive Player of the Year last year, is coming off two really serious injuries with his ruptured Achilles and his torn bicep. I just don't know that Baltimore is going to have a chance to get back to the Super Bowl with this core in the next few years, even with a guy like John Harbaugh at the helm. I think that the 49ers will be able to get back there multiple times in the next few years. What do you think about the immediate future for both these teams after this game?
All right, I think San Francisco is going to start to look like the NFC's version of the New England Patriots, in just the sense that they're going to win 10-plus games every regular season. They're going to make the playoffs, and they'll see their share of championship games and they'll see their share of Super Bowls. There are too many good teams in the NFC for me to say, yeah, to be as bold as you're being and saying they're going to go to three of the next five Super Bowls. It's absolutely possible because I think they're going to be right in the conversation all those years. But Green Bay is too good. With or without a running back, they've done it. New Orleans is going to bounce back.
Yeah.
Seattle is the counter San Francisco. It's the same team, basically, and younger. But the same energy for the most part. Yeah, Atlanta, I don't think is going to fall completely off of the map. I honestly think Chip Kelly's a perfect fit in Philadelphia. He might actually be able to get the most out of that talent. So there's just so much going on in the NFC. I actually think it's easier to be a superpower in the AFC. But I agree with you. Baltimore, it looks like their window might be closing a little bit, but it depends really on Joe Flacco at this point, I think, because this team's identity has shifted a bit. It's still known for the defense, and it's still Ray Lewis's team and Ed Reed's team, but in 2 or 3 years, they're both going to be gone. And if they keep Joe Flacco, and this is Joe Flacco, Ray Rice, Torrey Smith, Anquan Boldin, this is a team that can put up 30 points a game. And they've got enough guys on defense, and they draft well enough, and they coach well enough that I think they can sustain it. And in the AFC, where they're just, it's been the same four or five teams every single year. Pittsburgh is going to bounce back. You know, the Baltimore is not going to win the division every year. But even if Baltimore falls off a bit, if they keep Joe Flacco, I don't see that they're ever not a playoff team over the next 5-6 years. And since Flacco's been there, they've never not won at least one game in the playoffs. So I think they're always going to be in the conversation too. But I certainly agree the future looks brighter for San Francisco. And like I was saying earlier, I think old school people think that the read option is a gimmick and that it's just going to get figured out. I don't think that's the case. And I think you even look at a team like New England where teams in the playoffs, the Jets did it a couple years ago, the Ravens did it now, seem to be able to figure out a way to stop it. And maybe you'll start to see that. But in the regular season, when you've only got a week to prepare and you've got to worry about this team next week and this team this week, I just don't see San Francisco ever winning less than 10 games, even if they had a couple injuries.
Yeah.
You could take, that's the crazy thing about the San Francisco team, you could take any two players off of this team, and they would still win 10 games. It's not like Tom Brady goes down and the Patriots are done for. There's really, it's such a deep, strong team. It's so well coached. It is a very bright future for this team. But yeah, they certainly have the talent. But I think it's hard for me to not see a team like Green Bay not back in the next 5 years with Aaron Rodgers. Or I mean, you know, New Orleans, God, they have a lot of work to do on defense. But if they could get back to that,
sure,
you know, shootout defense where they're forcing some mistakes and turnovers. I mean, this was the worst. Literally, people throw literally around way too much. This was literally the worst defense of all time.
Yeah.
So you know, you get things going on over there.
Golden in the draft.
But it's certainly, these are definitely two teams that aren't going anywhere anytime soon. I've got two questions before we get to our final predictions.
Please.
So number one, we had the Peyton Manning conversation last week about like what about his legacy and with the playoffs. When do we have to start talking about Tom Brady? Because here's a guy that every regular season dominates. They haven't got the job done in the Super Bowl for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if you look back to the Super Bowls they won, Brady was not the focal point back then.
Yeah.
Those were some dominant defenses. Mm-hmm. Those were the, you know, you had McGinnis and Brewski and all these great defensive players. New England used to be a defense first team.
Yeah.
When they went up against St. Louis, their defense
pounded them to the ground. When they were 14-point underdogs.
That was defense. Now this team has completely changed its MO, and it's based around Brady and this super electric offense, and they score 35 points a game. They don't get it done in the playoffs. Those rings now are ancient history. There was a time when Tom Brady was supposed to be invincible in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody looks at it that way anymore. And at what point do we start shifting away from, you know, the debate was always, you know, Brady or Manning, 1A, 1B, and now we're certainly getting a new crop of quarterbacks these days. But it was always 1A, 1B, well, Brady's got the rings. I'm sorry, but I'm starting to not care about the rings anymore. They're ancient history.
No, I absolutely agree with you, and I think that really the turning point for the Patriots was their loss, the first loss to the Giants when they were undefeated. If the Patriots win that game, and it's their fourth ring in 7, 8 years,
yeah, great point.
Somewhere in there, if they can complete that, then no one is beating the Patriots. The Patriots are invincible. They probably win the year after. they just look so dominant. But when they lost that game, when everybody thought that they were going to win, everybody said, they're human. You know, we can
beat
these. That
was the turning point. You're right.
We can beat these guys. There's no reason for us to be intimidated by them anymore. And it's carried through true since then. I mean, they made the Super Bowl last year. They lost to the Giants again. AFC Championship. I mean, they have to get it done at some point. And it's going to get to the point, I think, where Eli is going to start creeping up and maybe in the talk of being better than Brady. Because
If Roethlisberger picks up another ring, I'm not saying he's better than Brady. But, I mean, these guys are getting it done. Flacco, if this happens over the next couple of years, it's just...
Especially, you know, when you look at the late... the early to mid 2000s, I like to make this point a lot about how I think that the teams now are a lot better. There's a lot more better teams now than there were in, say, 2005, 2004. The reason I say that is you look at Philadelphia, who made, what was it, 4 straight NFC championships in the NFC. They just absolutely dominated. There was really nobody to contend with them.
Right.
New England won those 3 Super Bowls, and they, you know, they beat Carolina in one of those seasons just because when the Panthers got hot, and Jake Delhomme was the quarterback and almost beat them. And now, you know, you get to the era where you have the guys like Aaron Rodgers, and you know, Peyton Manning got his Super Bowl. Eli has his too. Brady is constantly losing these quarterback matchups in these big games. Flacco's outplayed him twice. Eli outplayed him in both Super Bowls. He's being outplayed in the playoffs year after year, and we still talk about him like he's the best quarterback in the league.
And see, that was the thing that I was saying with Manning, that I don't feel like he's always being outplayed. Brady gets flat out outplayed in some of these games.
A lot of times, too.
Yeah, and now granted, Manning has two in the past, but again, when you look at the Ravens Denver game, the last thing I think of is, oh, Peyton lost it for him.
Yeah.
Not that Brady lost it for him, but when you're up at home, punch one more in and the game is over because Baltimore couldn't get it going on offense at all. New England's defense stepped up against a very tough offense.
For the second straight year.
For the second straight year, Brady wasn't able to, or, you know, put him over the top. It worked last year. They were able to sneak in there. I still can't figure out how they won that game, but this year it wasn't enough. And the other question I had, you know, the Pro Bowl, it's funny because I was writing some articles on this week, because I had to preview both the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl is always fun to write previews about. But I was previewing the over-under, because nobody cares about who wins the game.
I saw this.
The over-under, basically, what was so interesting about this one, they set it at 84 points because, or the sportsbook set it at 84 points because the 11 of the last 13 have gone over, and they said, all right, enough of this 63 business. We're just going to go ahead and set it in the stratosphere because that's where these games end up going. And it was pretty clear to everybody, you know, you go ahead and bet the over. It always happens that way. But the talk during the week that I thought was interesting, Goodell was saying that they're strongly thinking about getting rid of this game because it sucks. Nobody cares about it, and it's just a terrible product. And there was talks about this last year. But then this year they were saying, if we don't see more effort out there from the defense and we don't actually see something that resembles football, we're going to get rid of this game. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't watch much of it, so I'm not the one to tell you whether or not it looked like football. But the final score of 62-35 certainly didn't.
Yeah.
So my question is, what are we going to do about the Pro Bowl? Because, first of all, I don't blame the players. I mean, the physicality of football, every play out there could be your last. And so why the heck would you throw it all away in a game that means nothing? And really, I don't think the league is actually going to cancel this game because I was told that the ratings were actually quite good. I don't know anybody who watched it, but on the other hand, there really wasn't anything else on. I mean, you know, if you had a local hockey or football basketball team that you were interested in, but if I had the TV on Sunday, I probably would have had it on the Pro Bowl. So I don't know that it's going to get canceled, but it's so bad, and I actually don't think I've actually watched one for more than 5 minutes in the last 12 years. What can they do to either, should they just scrap the game, or is there something they can do to get me to watch for more than 5 minutes?
I think scrapping the game is just not even an option. It shouldn't be, at least. Who knows? And the NFL screws up a lot of things. Roger Goodell hasn't really done the best job in the last couple of years. And the Pro Bowl, just in general, I think, might be the biggest sham of it all because it's just so bad. It really is. And the NFL is by far and away, not even close, the most popular sport in the country and maybe even the world. And nobody cares about the Pro Bowl. I guarantee you that people care more about the Pro Bowl selection show than they care about the actual game.
Let me just say, there's no bigger sham in sports than baseball's All-Star Game deciding home field.
Yeah, don't even get me started on that.
That is a totally separate, because that just makes my head explode. So at least Goodell, to his defense, doesn't say, hey, team that wins it gets home field in the Super Bowl. That would be a bigger mistake than anything he's ever done
before. Yeah, but, you know, we bring this up because actually on Sports Invasion yesterday, I did just post an article about how some ways that the Pro Bowl can be made better, and the big overarching theme for me is just making the game fun, because All-Star weekends are supposed to be about having fun. In the NBA, you have the dunk contest, three-point shootout. In the game, the guys are just laughing the whole time, throwing behind-the-back alley-oops. The NBA All-Star weekend has it right, of all things.
See, but the problem with that is, and I'll let you get to your points, but hockey, baseball, and basketball lend themselves to All-Star games better because in basketball, nobody plays defense and you're alley-ooping and dunking and it's exciting. Hockey, nobody's playing defense. You got three-on-ones, you're passing, you're top-shelving, and everything's fine. Baseball's the same game because there's no physicality in the game anyway. Sorry, baseball fans, but other than a slide at home plate occasionally, there's no physicality, no injury risk, even though they're on the DL for blisters on their feet, whatever. Football, I don't know that the game itself... How can you make the game itself more fun when some people like defense and interceptions and, you know, do you make it a flag football game? I mean,
so I think that the number one thing for me actually is that you have to move the game again past the Super Bowl.
100% agree.
I said that gives Bud Selig calling the NBA, not necessarily the home field, but calling the MLB game, All-Star game, a tie, I remember a few years ago, that moving the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl is one of the dumbest things you can do.
That's right under making home field, yeah.
Let me just give you a list here. Ray Rice, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Alden Smith, Justin Smith, all these guys we're not going to see in the Pro Bowl.
Well, not to mention a guy like Tom Brady who, now granted, I'm pretty sure Matt Ryan was really injured. He looked like he took a pretty big hit into that game. I'm not saying Tom Brady isn't injured, but I'm saying if you gave him an extra couple of weeks to get over the sourpuss business. Yeah. I think he's out of this game because he's cranky, not because he's injured. Give it an extra couple weeks to try and send the guys that just lost their trip to the Super Bowl out there the following week.
And a game that doesn't matter.
Right.
And you know, the NFL can make it a whole weekend just like the NBA does with All-Star Saturday Night. You know, why not bring back, you remember the quarterback challenges when we were growing up during the summer? Bring back one of those, you know, maybe a 100-yard dash contest, see who the fastest, do something, not just have the game, do something else. And as far as making the game more fun, and I'm actually being totally serious, and people might say this would make the game a joke, if you will, but I'd say it'd make more fun. You know, you remember, I don't know if you watched Rock and Jog growing up on MTV, you know, where they had the hot spots where it's like, you shoot from here, it's 10 points. Why not put a 10-point circle in the end zone? You know, just, and so if they catch in the end zone, it's 10 points in that spot. Just make it a little more fun. It makes it more realistic in case, for a comeback, in case your team is down like 35-7, you know, or spots where if you catch it here, you get 20 extra yards. I don't know, do something. Spice it up a little bit.
Maybe even go to like a college overtime format. Yeah. Just have some teams go back and forth 30 yards because the game is a joke anyway. So just vibing it up somehow.
And let the players have fun. You know, the NFL is always the no fun league. You know, allow for team celebration in the Pro Bowl. Have them all do a river dance. I don't know. Do something. Let them choreograph it. Have a little fun. I think the big thing actually that might even help out the most is probably the most realistic is not having the game in Hawaii. I understand that Hawaii is the tropical destination. Everybody loves it. But move the game stateside and actually have people come to the game. Because who's going to fly to Hawaii to go to the Pro Bowl?
I think if you solved the Pro Bowl sucking issue, a lot of people would. I don't mind it in Hawaii. I'm 100% on board with getting back to having fun events other than the game. Mm-hmm. Because really, if you look at the NBA, you said they get it right, and it's true. I don't think I've watched an NBA All-Star game over the last 10 years, but I've certainly watched the three-point contest. I've watched the dunk contest. Those things are fun, and there are plenty of things you can do. They used to do it, like you said, when we were kids. Yeah. There are plenty of things that you can do in the NFL. You can have a quarterback contest. You can have a route running contest and catching and bonuses and everything. There's so many fun activities you can do that I think everybody would get excited about to see their favorite players. And again, that gets back to putting it past the Super Bowl so that the season is over. Everybody who's healthy enough to participate is just out there having fun. Mm-hmm. And you need to get the skill competition back and make it an all-star weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think the all-star game can be the focal point because it's just no good.
Well, I completely agree with you. That's the main thing I think for me. But going back to moving it, I know the NFL is never going to have a game in Vegas, but why not have the Pro Bowl in Vegas? That would, you know, get buzz up there, or even maybe have it in Los Angeles, you know, maybe a big city that doesn't have and the NFL is doing all these things to try to get, you know, the international fans involved. They're doing asinine things like having regular season games in Toronto and London because that's stupid and horrible and I could go on forever. Why not have the Pro Bowl game in Toronto? I don't know. Who cares? They care more about it than we would. That would, you know, just do something. That's all. That's the main thing, is the NFL, by not changing the Pro Bowl for the last 10, 15 years, is just conceding the fact that no one cares about it and they don't really care about it either. They don't care about their best players who are playing in that game representing them. Have the best players travel, I guess, and talk about the game there. Do something in Hawaii. It's not really doing anything. You know, that's the number one thing. The Pro Bowl doesn't do anything. I think that's the number one thing, and it has to do something.
Yeah, I feel like the game, I know the game isn't going to get scrapped, but I feel like the game needs to stop being played as a four-quarter regular football game because it's not, and it's a joke, and it's not any fun for anybody. And so whatever the case may be, you want to put hotspots out there, fine. You want to have some kind of both teams, you know, both teams start at the 50-yard line 10 times, and whoever can, you know, get more points wins. Yeah. Just that way it's safer for the players. There's a bit more competition to it because, you know, if a team was down, say, 7 points in that format, they might say, all right, let's go get that touchdown, you know, because these guys are still competitive at heart. But when these games get to 42-10, it's like, who cares? Let's just get home. So they need to do something. But the reality is if you tried any of the 10 things you're talking about, any of them, it would be better off than it is now than just keeping it the same way, status quo, that nobody cares about, and it's a terrible game. So back to a really good game.
Back to the one people care about.
Let's wrap final all predictions. That up and get to final predictions. KT, who you got?
I said before, I'm pulling for the Ravens. I think the 49ers win this. I just think that they're – too young and too athletic, and everywhere you look, they're just playmakers on both sides of the ball for this team. Not that there aren't for Baltimore, but I just think San Francisco makes an extra play. Kaepernick could be flustered, but he hasn't been yet, so I don't really see why he would now, even though it is a Super Bowl. I think both teams will be nervous in the first quarter, so that kind of gets rid of it. The score I'm looking at is, you know, Baltimore's defense has been so fantastic, but so has San Francisco's offense. So I think San Francisco scores 30 and Baltimore is at 21. So I'm at 30-21.
There's it's been broken once or twice, but I've always had this running gag that there's a Consolazio curse. And I actually broke down the numbers on this and from 1997 until Peyton Manning beat the Chicago Bears, the team I'd rooted for in the Super Bowl had never won, it was a pretty remarkable run. And I finally got Peyton Manning. I was rooting for them. They beat the Bears. And then when the Packers won the Super Bowl over the Steelers a couple years ago, I was rooting for that. Those are the only two instances in the last 16 years that the team I've rooted for in the Super Bowl has won. So I actually called our mutual friend Marcelo, who's a huge San Francisco fan, and asked him. I said, Marcelo, I actually want San Francisco to win this game, and I think they've got a good shot of winning this game. I want to root for him, but I want to ask you, who do you want me to root for in this game? Do you want me to put my curse on Baltimore, or do you want me on your side? And he said, you put on that Ray Lewis jersey, and you root them home. So I'm rooting for Baltimore in this game for Marcelo, and not so much that I care either way. But when I actually look at the game, there are so many, you know, like you said, incredible playmakers on both sides of the ball. And so it just, for me, it has to come down to intangibles. And regardless of what happens over the next 5 years, I think Baltimore has to feel the same way you do, that this is it. This is their chance. You don't know when you're going to get another chance. I don't know many guys in the San Francisco locker room other than the older guys, but I don't think a guy like Kaepernick right now is thinking, this is my only chance. This is not Kaepernick's only chance, I wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis knows this is his last shot. It's probably Ed Reed's. It's probably a lot of these guys that are beat up, might only have another year or two in the league. I think these guys know this is it. And I think that is going to get them over the top, just like it has in these last couple of games that they weren't favored, mm-hmm. and they were just able to have that little bit extra and that little bit of extra heart. I don't want to say they're going to want it more, because everybody wants this really bad, but I just think Baltimore has the intangibles, and in a game that, honestly, like I said, it's just going to come down to execution, going to come down to a couple bounces, I really think it's that close. I think Baltimore wins at 31-28, but I could easily go the other way with that same score.
Should be a great game. Either way, we're going to have a classic. As we mentioned multiple times, I don't think this is going to be a blowout. And the Super Bowl rarely is. Oftentimes,
it used to be. In the last couple of years, we've actually been treated
the last few years, I mean, for a while now, every one of these games has been pretty close to the end. So we can't really complain about that. And I think this is going to be similar. I love this matchup. And it's one that I'm really excited for. We'll see how it goes.
That gets back to what you were saying earlier about how I think 10, 15 years ago, there was such a discrepancy between the best teams.
Yeah.
If one team kind of got hot at the right time, they were going up against a juggernaut, it was a blowout. Yeah. Nowadays, the teams that got to the Super Bowl have earned it and are really solid teams. And that's definitely the case here. So, as always, you can email me at VegasDavesDime@gmail.com.
Or me at KevinJTAY@gmail.com. You can check out this podcast and all things sports at SportsInvasion.net. Also, I will be doing another podcast with another writer of ours, Jason, about the Super Bowl, because it is the big game. Tomorrow I'm going to be recording that, so check that out sometime later this week. We're going to have multiple podcasts for you this week.
I guess my invite got lost in the mail. All right, guys, thank you guys so much for joining us all season. We'll hopefully see you next year, and enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thanks, guys.